Y'all got awful quiet when I started writing there. To see where I misspelled things or something, so I chose simple words tonight. The readers and their leaders from Hebrews 13. I want to welcome everybody to our class. Welcome to those of you who are with us as guests tonight as well. We've been involved in a fairly lengthy reading, working through the great letter to the Hebrews. And what we've tried to do is to do one part of this textually, and one of the meetings in the week, and then for this series to do another part of it topically. And tonight we're going to do one of the topical studies that I think is important to Hebrews and very relevant. Let me take a minute to thank you guys who came to help us remember Miss Betty yesterday. She and Tommy were part of our congregation here since about 1980, maybe just before that, possibly. And we appreciate very much your being with us to help with that. And Ruth, I hope Travis enjoyed making the announcements for the last time there tonight. I don't know. You can get on him there. I wonder. Leave out the congregational setting now. And leave out politics for the question I'm about to ask you. I want to ask you to give me an illustration from everyday life of the importance of leadership to people. Todd? All right. I said to leave out politics and all that. Now, you're keeping your oath. Okay. Greeley, what are you going to say? Yes, or any other organization really is only as strong as the leadership. David?
Guidance.
All right, guidance. You guys are giving me some effects of it. I'm talking about roles or places in life. I have in mind, for example, I've been watching some of the NCAA tournament. How many coaches have you heard of either getting hired for new jobs because of their success in that one, or being replaced because their leadership was not regarded as successful enough? What about in work situations? How valuable is it to have a good boss or somebody who's in charge? In school organizations, how important is it to have a principal or superintendent, or whoever it is that you really can work with? In a family, how important is it for the leadership of parents to have a good effect in the lives of children? How important is that to children? And you can go on with illustrations from sports, or from family, or from work, or in other settings. We're quite familiar with the power of leadership. Defining leadership and what makes it work and what makes its influence positive is a harder job. And that's where the letter to the Hebrews especially makes me stop and think, and I hope it will you too. I haven't really noticed it come up that much in this book. But we get to the last 17 verses of Hebrews, and I want you to notice what happens. If you guys will show us the first slide, and I'll put this up on the screen in front of you, everybody. And this is from the New American Standard Version, the 2020 version of it. Look at this. We read this in class Sunday, if you were in the text part of this. Remember those who led you. And that word for led is actually a present participle, which means those who are leading. I looked it up in the actual word, those who are leading of you. Your leaders, in other words. It's a present. But it's put in the past here because the word for speak is past. That's kind of our. Who are leading you? Who spoke the Word of God to you, and considering the result of their life, the outcome of their life, it's literally the end of their life, imitate their faith. So notice that it's talking to the readers of this letter, but it's talking to them about one way they can keep their place in life is to remember their leaders. Look at verse 17 now. Obey your leaders, and I think all of the versions I can find translate this one either your leaders or those who have the rule over you or some phrase like that, and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would be unhelpful for you, wouldn't benefit you. And then look at verse 24, the third case of this. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. And then those from Italy, which would be wherever there this letter is being written from, possibly, greet you. Might be those from Italy who were part of the church, wherever this was being written from, greet you. Now, the one phrase, the one term that all of those statements have in common, of course, is your leaders, or those who are leading you. So you stop and think about that. I mentioned that in each case, the word for leaders is the same. Back up to the first one for me, John, if you will. Okay. Those who are leading you, who led you, in each case, it's the same word. And what strikes me about it is it doesn't specify in each case who it's talking about. It doesn't use the word elders. It doesn't identify what exactly the office it is, except in the responsibility that they fulfill, as we'll notice in a minute. The word that's used here means to lead the way, or to take the lead, or to be the chief, or to govern, or to preside, or to rule. It is a very general word for leading that applied to the Roman governors. It applied to kings and emperors even. It applied to leaders of cities. The word did not define exactly exactly what the office was, is what I'm getting at. And then the present form of it is the ones leading you. And I found out that in another tense, this same word could mean to think or to consider or to count or to regard or to esteem. The idea that I take from it is these are people who have an influence because they pay attention, they think about, they consider, they have an impact then on others around. I want to ask you, why do you think? Now, some of you've been with us through this, you've borne with us through the study. Why do you think this note, your leaders, is touched on three times in the closing verses of this letter when it hasn't been mentioned before? There hasn't been one word that I can remember to leaders or about leaders up until this point. Why is it being brought up now? How does it fit with this letter, in your opinion? There's not a right or wrong answer to this. You can have your opinion. I have mine. I get to tell you mine in a minute. So what do you think it is? Knowing what this letter has talked about, why would this be brought up now? Three times. Becky? All right.
And things have been difficult. And he does speak about leadership in this book with the Old Testament.
Yes, the Old Testament characters, the people of faith who endured our leaders, and certainly Jesus is, we're supposed to be following him, so that's leadership, that's right. I think your point about them being tired, and we might use the word burnt out in a way, and questioning, what does that start doing to us as a group? Causes us want to go our own way. It causes us to lose interest in each other. It causes us to think nobody really is paying attention to us and noticing us. And therefore, the role of leaders becomes important. Anybody else that you can think of? Why does he bring up this function at this point in this letter? Gene? All right. So after all the things that he's said about this, how is it going to be turned into actual action? Leaders are going to be important in that way. And then when his word of exhortation is over and he can't keep on, I mean, there's not a chapter 14 here. So he can't keep on. So he's going to make these people who are depending on his words for their encouragement to now think about their connection to leaders in their presence. I think that comes into the story. Anybody else with a thought about that question, Ruth? All right. They did not have the benefit of the whole written word. They're going to have this letter to read. I mean, you can imagine. Can you imagine meeting with the church and somebody stands up and reads this letter? That would be, I think this is the greatest, longest sermon not preached by Jesus that's in the New Testament. And I think somehow there's going to have to be a presence then that turns this word into life. I think that's right. I think maybe that leaders are closely connected to the whole purpose of the epistle to the Hebrews. The whole purpose of this letter, this writer is going to identify in this same chapter. If you remember, look at chapter 13 and verse 22, just a minute. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. And some versions will translate it, my word of encouragement. So leaders, if you remember what title I've given to our series, I hope you do, yesterday and today and forever. So putting that together, leaders have an important function among the Lord's people in distinguishing between what is eternal and what isn't. What is timeless and what's temporary, what changes and what does and what is changeless. We lose sight of that because of the stuff going on around us, and then in our own lives when we get weary and things that change can get right up here in front of us, and the changeless off out there in the background is really important. And the urgent takes place of the important. And leaders have a function in helping to clarify our vision in that way. Leaders help in paying attention to him who is speaking. Not the preacher, but the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 25, remember. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. In chapter 2 back there, let's pay more attention to what we've heard, he says. So leaders help us to delight in the Lord's ways and will and not to drift from it, which is the tendency that naturally life brings as it wears us down. And then leaders have a way of life that is characterized by the great themes of this letter, which are press on to maturity, endure all the way through, pursue peace and holiness, and watch. And that's what this letter has called for all the way through. There is, by the way, there's not only sunshine in my soul, there is in my eyes right now here. So the leaders have, you take the themes of this letter, the great kind of ideas that are here, and then you apply, you think of them, and with each of them you can see how leadership has a big impact in that. Let me ask you the second question that I brought with me here. In view of the letter to the Hebrews, is it anticipated that all leadership of the kind we've just described rest with the leaders? Does all leadership rest with those who have an official leadership office in the church? Now back up and thinking about this, I think you're answering it the same way I do. No. But the reason that I raise this question is when you get really weary and tired, what do you start saying? The leaders aren't doing what they should do. And what really is the case is if you really think about it and you watch who has the influence, You notice that it may be some ladies, it may be some younger people, it may be some older people, and it may not always be the kind of influence that should be there. A congregation depends on a lot of influencers. And the letter to the Hebrews makes me really think about this. So here's my reasons for saying this. First off, the let us exhortations. Can you remember any of these specifically from Hebrews as we've read it and you look back on it? Some of the let us sayings, can you remember any of them? Pardon? Let us not grow weary. That's a constant one. Let me mention two of them that I think illustrate very clearly that we're talking, we're all included in what he's asking for and turning words into action. Look at chapter 10 for a minute. And I just read verse 24, although 22 and 23 go with this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Whose action is called for? He wants his encouragement here in following the Lord, drawing near to the Lord, in holding fast our hope, to be turned into action. By whom? Everybody. So who's even though the leaders are ones who take the lead, lead the way, are have a habit of thinking and considering and watching, all of us have a role in considering how to stir up one another to love and good works. Look back at chapter 3. At verse 12 and 13, this more one of the more straightforward statements in the whole book. Take care, and if you look up the term, it could be brothers and sisters. Brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Who is called to action in that statement? What he wants is for there to be an encouraging atmosphere and function among the Lord's people so that none of the Lord's people are lost. Who's called to action in those two verses? So one another means that however diligent leaders are, there is still the one another task with this. So let me turn that into a second point. The one another sayings shows that not all leadership, not all leading happens by recognized leaders in that way. And then the way the individually addressed statements here. And a good example of this would be chapter 3 and verse 1. And there are many examples of this, but the way he speaks directly to persons. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1, and you notice what I'm saying. And you can see here that he's not just talking to leaders. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. So everyone who's a partaker in in our confession, everyone who shares in this heavenly calling is asked to stop and consider Jesus in this statement. That's three examples that I can see. And I think this needs to be said because the habit we have as human beings when we are tired or hurting is to fall victim to self-pity and then blaming. Have you noticed that? In our broader culture, in the secular culture right now, tragedies hardly get done happening before somebody is being blamed for it. And that gets to be more the story than the awful thing that happened. And that's too bad. But among the Lord's people, it should be different if we want to have an encouraging life in our among us and among ourselves. So that's three ways that I notice this in this book. And if you think about it, I'm sure you can think of several others and maybe better illustrations of the point. But you kind of can see what I'm getting at, I think, with that. Now, having said that, there are three observations that I want for us to make about the your leader's statement against the background of the whole letter and against the background of the responsibility of all the readers of this letter. And these are three things that kind of strike me as I think about this. And one thing is, just as an observation, do you notice that leaders aren't spoken to directly? Do you see that? Back up, John, to those other passages here. The leaders aren't spoken to directly. Usually, I would think if something is about leadership, then you would just, this writer has been pretty good about speaking directly to everybody. I'll just go back through them and notice this. Remember those who are leading you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life. That's not talking to the leaders, it's talking. Look at chapter 13, verse 7. Obey your leaders and submit to them. They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And then 13:24, greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Neither of the places where the leaders are mentioned is it speaking directly to them other than as being also readers of this letter. That's an interesting thing. The leaders are spoken of as the readers are being addressed. Then the leaders are spoken to or spoken of in a letter about the once for all ministry of Jesus. I think this is a crucial observation, and once for all ministry of Jesus. And there are some things about this that definitely need to impact our thinking about leadership in the church. One, all of these leaders obey who? Not the majority of the leaders, but Jesus. They're only the kind of leaders that we're talking about here, and their only interest is in obeying Him and trusting Him. None of them can redeem anybody. Now, why do I say that and attaching it to the ministry of Jesus, the once for all ministry of Jesus? Why can I say no leader in the church or no leaders in the church can save anybody or redeem anybody or get anybody to heaven? All right, His sacrifice is once for all. It's the only one that could cleanse the conscience. The only one who ever went to Jesus, went to heaven ahead of us, is Jesus, our forerunner, and the one who serves as the high priest through whom we draw near to the throne of grace is Jesus. Don't put too much responsibility then on leaders of the church in that way. No one follows leaders, them, like all of us follow Him, right? Including, I mean by that the task of whoever these leaders are in the church doesn't take away the responsibility of individual members of the Lord's family to the Lord. And no leaders would have the right to lead the people in some other way other than following Him. So whatever is said about obeying them and submitting them to them is going to have to be subject to or defined by this, isn't it? Okay. And then the other part of it is the leaders are, this is the third thing, the third thing, not thing, okay. Somebody told me yesterday that Arkansas comes out in my talking sometimes. The leaders are anticipated beneficiaries of the same exhortations as the leaders. As the readers are, let's say it that way. The leaders, as I read this, are expected to be hearing the encouragement of this letter and the let us's and the one another's and so forth apply to them first. They lead the way. They're gonna go first, or they're going to lead the way at each one of the let us's and that kind of thing throughout this letter. Does that make sense to you? In the mention of leaders in Hebrews, the leaders are never spoken to directly. They're spoken of in a letter about the once for all ministry of Jesus, anticipating that they'll be beneficiaries of each one of the exhortations of this letter, just like everyone else. So when it says, let us pay closer attention to the things that we've heard, lest we drift from them, that appeals to the elders. When it says, let us take care that there not be in anyone an evil heart of unbelief, that applies here. Or any of the other kind of let us lest statements that appear in this book. Now, any comment or observations from you about the way this is spoken of and against the background and the purpose of this letter, which is what we're interested in? Okay. Greeley? Yeah.
One young brother took me aside, poured out what you poured out tonight.
I've been the I've been in the same situation, and that's what makes me think about this, Greeley. I appreciate you sharing the voice of experience there, and whoever shared the voice of experience with you about this. And that's true. The good elders depend greatly on positive leadership from others in the congregation. And they'll tell you that, and experience will make us realize the importance of that statement. Let's think for a few minutes here about the actions that the three verses in this chapter expect leaders to be taking, or leaders to be, the leaders of the people to be fulfilling. And I think the easiest way to do this is just go back to those verses, and I'll call our attention to the phrases that stand out to me. Maybe I should have just had you identify them, but look for the action statements here. What do the leaders do? Well, here they are those who spoke the word of God to the people. They make the word of the Lord accessible to people. And I mentioned in our class Sunday, and you notice how this, the New American Standard, translate the past tense leading, and this may well, being an undefined leadership or leaders who are spoken of here, this may well be talking about the apostles who are mentioned in chapter 2 and verse 3. It may be asking us to think about that. But anyway, the reason you remember, notice that there can be situations when someone is still exercising leadership in your life, even though that someone has already passed on. That's quite a statement when you think about it. How can somebody be leading when they already finished their course? Because of the way they finished their course, because they ran it all the way through. Can you, without raising your hand, give me a name, just nod if you can. Can you think right now of somebody who is still exercising leadership in your life even though they've already finished their lives? Yes. Definitely, I can think of people who have a huge impact on my life each day, even though they've already gone on. And one reason is because of the insight they gave me about what the Lord's Word says, or how it applies, or what it means, how it would be lived, and a lot of practical wisdom. Just from people who, now a lot of, in my case, a lot of them were actual leaders in congregations. What I mean by the actual leaders is they actually had the responsibilities of a function of leadership that everybody looked to them for. But this is one of the impact. The leader, whether he is, it doesn't mean he's a preacher or gets up and talks or whatever, but it can mean this is just somebody who, like Greeley said, goes aside with you and says, wait a minute, this is, have you thought about this? Or this? And a lot of times the stuff that stuck with me happened that way. And you can think of that too. So that's one thing. Second thing, now look at what this says here. They have an outcome of a way of life. Now, I'll say it this way, a little bit different. A way of life that has an outcome which leaves and which indicates faith, which shows what faith is like. I learned that this word for outcome only appears one other time in the New Testament, and it's in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and you'll recognize that passage. No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. For God will with the temptation make a way of escape. That's this word, a way out, that you may endure it. So actually it's talking about how somebody's life, how their way of life turned out. Not just where there is the passing fad of looking like a success or being admired or being popular at a moment or whatever, but a way of life that spans whatever decades God gives. And it turns out in the family and their life and the community and the church and how they live. And a lot of people think about, if this applied to the apostles possibly, then how they, which has been the point of this book, how did they persevere or endure or finish the course all the way through and hold to their faith even if it cost them their life? And how, what would you find out about faith from them? That's a part of this. Then move to 13:17 again, John, if you would, and look at this. What it expects of leaders here is that they are keeping watch in behalf, literally this would be better translated, in my opinion, in behalf of your souls. Okay. Now, obviously, keeping watch means paying attention or being alert, in behalf of, meaning in the interest of. What about your soul? What's that mean? The leaders he's talking about here are the kind of persons who are moving toward maturity, who are staying in the race and enduring, and who are watching. And as a part of that, they help identify the eternally important things, the changeless things, what the Lord wants in behalf of your souls. The word for soul, as you may know, can be translated life. It can be translated self. It could be translated personality. And usually, when we think of it in this context here, we think of ourselves outside of our body. But it's better just to our whole selves. Look back at chapter 10 for a minute in Hebrews. And look at what the writer says in verse 39, the last verse of chapter 10. And this might give us a clue what the writer's talking about here. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now, if your leaders are watching in behalf of your souls, in view of verse 39 there, what are they doing? What are their interests? All right? They want us to preserve our souls. They want us to be people who don't shrink back. They want us to be people who have faith. That's the idea here. And not for our lives and ourselves and our personalities to be destroyed, or the part of us that is eternal and changeless, that part they want for us to be saved. The next point, also on that verse there, the action of these leaders, and I looked this up in an interlinear. We are to regard them as account rendering. I like it because it puts that in the present tense, and you look at this is how you see how they see their responsibility as they're the ones who will be rendering an account for our souls. That doesn't mean, however, that I'm not also accountable for my soul, as we pointed out in a previous idea. But this is leadership, not imposing one's will, but as account rendering. And then look at verse 24. That statement assumes that your leaders will be present to be greeted. What does greeted mean? You may notice it gets translated saluted sometimes. Notice that this is also with all the Lord's people. So this is in connection with the whole group. But it means, how are you going to greet someone that you never have any intention of seeing or talking to? Notice how in this book, which is so much about the problem of discouragement, it says to readers, don't stand there and wait for your leaders to come and talk to you. Go greet them. Initiate that part of the goodwill of this process. What a big task this assumes of active leaders within a group of God's people, or of just of Christian leadership in general. Even other influencers in the congregation have a responsibility to act in the interest of our souls. Not other agendas, not other interests, not other things, not position, but in the interest of our souls. The parts of us the Lord seeks to cleanse and to redeem to God. All right. Then the other part of this, I'll be letting all of us off too easy here on this one, but because of the time, but responses that are called for from the readers. All right. It's thought to be a relational thing. It's envisioned where one is acting, the other acts, and they both have an impact on each other. Responses from the readers: remember those who led you. I'll use my notes here to remember those who are leading you or who led you. How would you remember them? Maybe partly by their teaching, maybe partly by their lives. Consider the result of their lives. I told you the word for leading can involve considering. So I think this would be here the outcome of their life, the result of their lives, and it is to remember for the purpose of thinking it over and figuring out how things turn out. What does this mean about me? Then imitate their faith. I used to see people go to, I'll say for church purposes, a preacher school or something like that, and I could always tell then who their favorite teacher was by whose mannerisms and way of speaking and all that they would try. And I think the Lord would say, be yourself. Don't imitate them. Imitate their faith. Imitate their way of life. Then the other statements, obey and submit to. And remember, we've already defined the proper realm where this where this would be, where this would apply. And I would, this is insofar as they're listening to the Lord's word and following Him, and we could say cooperate with. And then, fifth, greet all your leaders, greet your leaders and all the saints. So this is a goodwill type of welcome, that idea. Remember, consider, imitate, cooperate with, or obey and submit, and greet. And where this envisioned relationship is not healthy or doesn't exist, a discouraging situation will get more discouraging. I guarantee you that. There has to be a joint action here, which is what this letter is calling for. Now go back to 13:17, John, and just notice, everybody, that the end of this, that there is a stated object in view. Do you see this? The end of this verse. The whole reason for this kind of picture that's presented about leaders and your leaders in 1 Corinthians or in Hebrews 13. I don't know why I keep calling 1 Corinthians or Acts or something. It's the object is for us to relate to leaders in a way that's helpful for us and that will bring joy to them when they have to give an account for our souls, you see. And this verse here is the one in this whole passage that obviously has to include an eldership in it, because what it says about watching for souls corresponds to Acts 20 and verse 28 along in there, and which was where Paul's talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And so obviously that's included in this picture. And the object is for the members of a congregation to be able to relate to leaders in a way that's helpful, beneficial, that contributes to our well-being, but then in a way which allows them the joy of giving a good account when the time comes and for our souls. And that would be of honor to the Lord, who redeemed us and brought us along to start with. I appreciate you being with us tonight. And we're about to finish this study. It's been appropriate that the theme of this has been endurance, because, you know, we persevered, and I've told you so many times, it's my favorite letter, and I think because it focuses so much on Christ and what He's done for us. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Barney, do you mind to stand where you are and just lead us in prayer?
Father, thank you so much.
Everybody have a good rest of the week.